Hello, and welcome to the Renew, Restore, Rejoice podcast of Safe House Ministries. Safe House Ministries is based out of Columbus, Georgia, and we are a ministry that exists to love and serve people who have been adversely impacted by homelessness, addiction, and incarceration. I am your host, Phil Schuler. I am the Director of Development for Safe House Ministries here in Columbus, Georgia. This is a podcast where we share testimonies of the power of God to change lives through Safe House Ministries and the many support services that Safe House Ministries provides. Safe House Ministries serves over 1,300 people each month as they transition back into our community. Safe House Ministries provides mail, storage, shower, clothing, transportation, respite, and case management services to more than 900 people each month. And an average of around 204 people stay with us in one of our shelters every night. Thank you for listening. And now let's jump right into today's podcast. Hey, thank you for joining us for this first podcast episode of Renew, Restore, and Rejoice from Safe House Ministries. Today's podcast will be a little different than the usual format. This is going to be a talk that was given by Neil Richardson, our executive director and founder, that he delivered at Rotary of Columbus, and it's just a great summary overview. He shares a little bit about his own personal background and about the background of how Safe House Ministries got started, and then he just shares about the ministry and gives, I think, a couple of stories as well about some of the great things that have happened in a very positive way in people's lives through the ministry of Safe House. So I hope you enjoy this talk, and I look forward to being back with you again in the coming weeks. And we will most of the time be in our usual format of interview style. But today, something special from Neil Richardson, and God bless you.
June 4th, 2007. I called my ex-wife on the phone and I said, I think I'm dying. If I could make it to your house, could you get me to the hospital? I have an ex-wife, honestly, because I spent 30 years as an active cocaine addict. And she finally got smart and threw my fanny out the door. I got to her house. We lived close enough so that we could be parents. That was a good... Phil mentioned I got three sons. I want to brag real fast about them. They're great. And they're mine. And they're making grands now. I like that part, too. It turns out I had something known as necrotizing fasciitis. I collapsed in the parking lot at the hospital. That's nicknamed the flesh-eating disease. That was June the 4th. I came out of the coma on July 27th of that year. Best 8 weeks sleep I've ever had. And so everything I'm fixing to tell you, I only got briefed on after the fact. But 5% of the people that get this live. Guess which group I'm in. It took about a year to rehab. And a dear friend of mine named Rob Dahl, some of you will remember from this community, came up. I brought one of my sons up, who's an aerospace engineer. He wanted a Z car. And Rob cut him a deal, and we drove up here, bought the car, and then we took him to Washington, D.C. Anyway, while I was here, Rob said, so I hear you can't work because you can't go to work every day. I went, yeah, that's kind of a problem. How are you going to handle that? And I said, I'm still praying about it. And he said, well, if you come up here, you can sell cars. You have to understand something. I used to work in politics. I ran campaigns for a living. On the public opinion polls, politicians are second to last. Car salesmen. So I said, you want me to move to Columbus, Georgia and take the plunge? I came up here and I sold some cars. Thank God people actually bought one. So it worked out pretty good, except I met Wayne Anthony and I got the talking. And then Jimmy and I started talking, and we made a decision that we were going to try to pitch a jail ministry for this community. And Wayne made me do homework. I came back with the homework. Jimmy made me go meet with some of the other pastors in town, and we birthed the Columbus Jail Ministry, Muskogee County Jail. I was the first chaplain. It was pretty cool. We did some amazing things there. I have the honor of saying that I retired almost 2 years ago from the jail, and that's just because as God continued to grow Safe House Ministries, I just wasn't capable of doing two full-time jobs. But we still had that commitment to dealing with the ex-offender, but we started to realize there's a lot of co-occurring activity in this field. You know, there are people who are homeless that get incarcerated. There are people who are, drug and addict or alcoholic problems that are getting incarcerated. As a matter of fact, just for information purposes, 88% of the people that are incarcerated in this country are there because of drinking and drugging. Flat out fact. If we can have an impact on substance abuse in our community, we could close the jail and have one floor for folks to come in and out of. And that's really got to be the goal. I told you I was a drug addict at the beginning of this because I want you to understand, as God continued to grow this ministry, we made a commitment to serve people who are affected by substance abuse. So ex-offenders, homeless people, and people that are, we hear about from families in our very community. And we had to make a couple of commitments. We were going to create a drug program that was capable, that was actually, we're a state-licensed intensive outpatient drug program known as Tomorrow's Hope, which is also certified and accredited by CARF, which is the official agency that does this work. We would be the only free substance abuse program with those credentials in the southeastern United States that I'm aware of. And we have one extra. We don't do a wait list. Every time I would get near the bottom, I would call and talk to a couple of drug places and ask them if they had any seats. And they said, about 2 weeks. I don't know what you know about substance abuse, but people don't sit around and watch TV for 2 weeks that need help. And so we made a commitment that when we started Tomorrow's Hope, which is, I think, one of the key ingredients of this ministry today, that there would never be a wait list. If somebody called up and said, I need help, we would take them in right now. As we, you know, as only God can do, up until, let's say COVID, pre-COVID, our ministry had built itself up into a position where it had 59 homeless beds. It had 25 for women and children and 59 for men. We had the substance abuse program, and we had already moved into Rose Hill United Methodist Church, and that became known as the Safe House. We still serve about 800 to 820 unique individuals each month at the Safe House. We provide a free breakfast, a free lunch, 365 days a year. We've got clothing. We've got, I'm excited about this. We have a workforce center, which now partnering with Goodwill and the International Electrical Contractors, that we were able to provide free 2 weeks worth of apprenticeship prep classes. The IEC actually helped us create the curriculum, and we provided instructors from area electrician companies. And so now a guy or a gal can come into this class. They've already had three of them, 30 people got trained, 26 of them got hired by local electric companies. And because of Goodwill's participation, every employer that hired one of our graduates got $750 gift card for Home Depot so they could go buy all the brand new tools that an electrician should have. We've now done that in HVAC, and we've also done that in plumbing. We're going to do welding later this summer. We're trying to create an opportunity to not just get employed, but to have a job that buys a house and raises a family. We're kind of wrapping up right now in a capital campaign called Jobs, Homes, and Hope, because we think that's the ticket out. We think if somebody's homeless, if somebody's suffering addiction, if somebody's trying to figure out how to cope with life post-incarceration, that the only way they're going to be able to pull that off is if they can stand up on their own two feet, get the self-respect that they need and the self-worth that they deserve. And you get that with a paycheck. And we as a community get benefits because we have openings. We need people to go to work. I'm going to brag about something here right now. That workforce center has gotten us into a position that 99% of the people that live in our shelters have a job. Draw a paycheck. 75% of those are making over $10 an hour, so well above the poverty line. And we're able to, we actually take folks, this was a funny conversation. John Anker and I from Anchor Pack were sitting around one day and he was whining about the fact, he's not here, I can get away with that. But he was whining about the fact that the old approach wasn't working. The HR guy was sitting at an empty desk with nobody in his chair. And I said, what are you going to do different? Because I said, obviously, if the old model doesn't work, we need a new model. I said, how about I take a van, fill it up with people that want to go to work and bring them to one of your places. You give them a tour, make them want to come to work for you, and then have your HR people there and we'll make a second trip, pick up anybody that's going to do the paperwork. I just took a tour with another friend of John's and mine, and we went through one of his warehouses, and in that time, I ran into five of his employees. One had been there for 3 years. One has been there the least for 13 months. All five of them graduates of our substance abuse program. All five of them that used to live in our shelters, three of the five own a home. All five have a car. And you might not find this funny, but I got a kick out of it. As we were talking about doing the tours, we were getting ready to leave. One of those employees ran up, tapped me on the shoulder and said, "I got the $200. Everybody was looking at me like, what am I selling? A group of us that are in recovery a few years ago decided that if we do life right, we should have a little disposable income, right? And we decided that we were going to start doing something with that. And so we created something called Recovery Adventures. Our first adventure, 12 of us went to Atlanta and jumped out of an airplane. Was that fun? I liked it so much, I still jump. But it's $200 to take the first tandem jump. And this girl, Amber, was running up to tell me that she saved $200 so that she can jump out of a plane because we're all going again in June. And I think that's kind of what put the icing on the cake was she's so happy with her life right now, owns a house, has her children back, performing, working for this company for 3+ years, has a car of her own and a life of her own, and she's got $200. She wants to jump out of an airplane and celebrate. That's what we get to do. You know, we do job training and we do job interviewing at the Safe House, even with our homeless clientele that come by to get a meal from us. We actually can give them the clothing they need for the first day on the job. We've got temporary agencies that are coming and interviewing them to see if we can't find them a way to quit being homeless. Maybe, I don't know, work. I think work is magic. I think having a place to live where I get to decide what goes on the shelf and what time I turn the TV off gives me the hope to have a real life. I think some of the stuff that I find exciting. Pre-COVID, I told you we had 59 beds. Right now, as we finish up this capital campaign we're involved with, we have 213 beds for homeless people in Columbus, Georgia. We house 36 mental health homeless people who would be on the streets, and we put them with a case manager, and we put them with another roommate so they can be a little accountability. And then we're slowly starting to get them ready to mainstream, if you will, into their own place. We got a lot of cool things that's happening there. We just moved into, Britt was up here. He's my landlord. Thank you for the price. We have a 104-bed men's shelter in the old Cobus personal care home. And with 104-bed then, we were able to close our women's shelter, move them over to the old men's shelter. And so now we have beds for 54 women and children. Currently, we have 12 children and 36 women. And then we took the old apartment that used to be apartment building and converted it back into apartments, and we can house up to 5 homeless families at a time. So different 213 people have a free place to sleep if they need to. We just have a little accountability thing that we want to do. All we ask is you look for work, you get a job, and you save money. That's a pretty simple concept, right? If you do those three things, let me tell you what happens. Before we started doing case management and started really working a lot with the United Way and the Home for Good office, we averaged 50% of the people that slept in one of our shelters moved into permanent housing. Since we started, and I love Pat because we get to work with her. It used to be for a while we had to meet once a week so that she could literally drill into us. Anybody that knows Pat knows what I'm talking about. That we could learn how to be case managers and we could learn how to help somebody identify barriers and then move into permanent housing. So now 68% of the people that spend one night with us will move into permanent housing in a place of their own where they get to turn off the TV when they dadgum want to. And then we have to deal with the substance abuse issues. And I think 130 plus people will go through this program of ours each and every year. We allow people to continue to work while they're in treatment so that they can still be providers. They can still have a place and stand up and be proud of themselves. You know, I want to brag about something that I'm going to thank Ben and the United Way because about 6-7 years ago, United Way made a commitment that we as agencies were going to stop the stovepipe nonsense. So we were going to start cooperating and working together. And by partnering, we could accomplish instead of duplicate, we could focus together. They mentioned even when she got announced as a member, this computer system that gives us all the ability to see what's happening over here and over here so that I can help and follow the help path that's already been created. But I want to list a few agencies and partnerships because I think it's the magic that only happens in a place as cool as Columbus, Georgia. We partner with United Way because we're an agency. We partner with Home for Good and 211 so that we can make sure that every person that we touch in this community has access to services and access to success. We partner with Goodwill. I mentioned already the apprenticeship training programs that we do with them, plus construction readiness program based in Atlanta that they and us brought here to this community. Mercy Med and Valley Healthcare ensure that our clients have access to quality healthcare. We partner with New Horizons and American Works to make sure that our clients have access to really good mental health programming. We partner with the Plummer Home in order to provide housing and hope for returning veterans that we're finding on our streets. I mean, doesn't anybody deserve a second chance more than a returning veteran? But it's sad to think that a community could have a homeless veteran, even one. But working with the Plummer Home, we've been able to provide them part of our facility to make sure that once they do an intake with a vet, that they then can move them into our facility and make room for more intakes at their smaller facility. And so we're partnering on that. I know everybody's supposed to go eat food with the Mac Plummer next week sometime. I'll encourage that. We have partnered with the Columbus Baptist Association and with Pat Fry and Home for Good, and we closed the homeless sex offender camp in Columbus, Georgia, which looked worse than a third world slum until that happened. I'll brag on this. The eight men that we helped get out of that camp all have jobs, all have cars, all but one live on their own, and that's because he's an employee, and we won't let him leave because he does good with our people. Valley Rescue, Mike Gaiman, I love you. Mike and I got together. We were talking one day about how can we partner and what can we do to make this community more successful. And Mike says, listen, Nashville scares me. What are we going to do in our churches, in our agencies about active shooter and that kind of problem? And so we kicked it around a little bit, talked to Martha Ann, and Martha Ann talked to Chester over at the Homeland Security and Emergency Office. And last week, we put on a free active shooter training program at Columbus Tech for about 48 people that came from churches and area agencies just to try to be helpful. You know, I guess if I was going to try to race through everything we do, I just got to tell you this. We believe in the one person at a time formula. We believe in a big-hearted community of Columbus, Georgia. And I'm just going to end with tell you a little bit about Lori. Lori's one of my faves. I met Lori 42 years of age when I was chaplain in the jail. She'd become a heroin addict in her 40s, blown off a good job, blown off a family, and was living on the street shooting dope. Several trips in and out of the jail, her mother called me one day and said, do not let her. I said, well, we probably have a constitutional problem with that question. She said, well, then don't let her come back to mine. What pain. How sad. You know, Lori said that she was ready to make some changes. We put her in the substance abuse program that we had in the jail at the time. And then I took Lori and we brought her into our women's shelter and we helped Lori find a job. And we helped Lori, struggling with her addiction, find some recovery. And then Lori got a job and Lori saved enough money. Lori moved into her own place. And then her mom started letting her join them on the same pew at church every Sunday. And after a few months, mom said, why don't you come home lunch after church? She did that for a while. And then they said, maybe you'd like to come home. And so Lori moved home. And within a year, her mom got really sick and Lori was able to be a caretaker and held her hand as she passed. I was telling this story in a place. Actually, it was a city office and doing a United Way gig and talking about why we need to be active in our community. And this one girl was sitting there as I was sharing Lori's story, and she's sitting in the middle, and I was watching her. She's just bawling her eyes out. I've never had that effect on somebody. I was going, this is a good day. Huh? But when the show was over, this girl came up to me, and she said, Lori's my mom. She said, nobody ever bragged. There's still Lori's out. You know, we're real close to being able to finish this capital campaign and we moved in and we're fixing it as we live there. We've got 208 people a night living in our shelter. We're feeding 125 lunch, 80 some odd for breakfast every day. We're collecting and giving out clothes and coffee and love. But when it's all said and done, the accountability that the person gets to have in their own recovery, in their own ending of their homelessness, means that more Lauries get to go home and have some. And I just, y'all are part of that because this is such a loving and wonderful community. So God bless you and God bless yours. Thank you.
We look forward to being with you again next week as we share another testimony about the power and the goodness of God to change lives through Safe House Ministries. If you are someone listening to this podcast that just loves to hear these stories of the great things that God is doing in changing people's lives for the better, and if you would like to be a part of that work, please reach out to us. You can reach us at 2101 Hamilton Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31904. You can call us at 706-322-3773, or you can email us at info@safehouse-ministries.com. Thank you so much for being with us this week for the Renew, Restore, and Rejoice podcast of Safe House Ministries. We pray that God will bless you this week, and we look forward to having you back with us again next week for a new episode.